Just because you don't see God working, that doesn't mean God isn't working as much as ever. Just because you and I don't see God working doesn't mean He isn't working awesome things all the time. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean we can place judgment upon our God. The Lord at times will send fire, but more often than not, God works in the quiet and in the gentleness. Don't count Him out.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. You've joined us for the very last message in our series we've called The School of Faith. We've looked at Elijah and the many confrontations and the many difficulties that this prophet went through, and we've seen in so many different ways God answer with great lessons for the faith. Well, today, it's a message to encourage our hearts and to boost faith. Maybe you're sitting there today and your faith is lacking. Maybe you're sitting there today and you've done some things practically that have, well, really busted your faith. Well, as we walk through 1 Kings 19 today and looking at Elijah's life, we're going to see those specific things that will boost our faith. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need that. We pray for that. Let's go to God's Word, 1 Kings 19, and here is our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Of who you are in Christ and what He's done for me in my life and who I am because of His blood shed for me in the grace of the gospel. Some of you say, well, what's the corrective? How do I get over my self-pity? I kind of just mentioned it. It is the gospel. The antidote for everything is really the gospel. You say, well, practically, what does that look like? A mentor of mine several years ago really helped me out. He sat me down, and this is some of the issues I struggle with, right? And he would say, Robbie, here's how you get your mind in the right place. Two simple questions. The first question is, what do I deserve? Well, because of my sin, because of Robbie Simon's sin, I deserve death. I deserve the punishment of God. I deserve the wrath, full 100%. This is what I've rejected God on my own. I wanted to be God, not Him be God. I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve all these things. That's what I deserve. The second question is, what have you received? I deserve death, wrath, and punishment, but in Christ, only because of what He has done. All the work that Christ has done, I have received life, grace, love, mercy. I've received the hope of glory. I have received a guarantee of everlasting life forever. What do you deserve? And what have you received? And when you answer those questions biblically, then instantly self-pity dissipates and the thankfulness for who you are in Christ rises to the surface of your heart. I mean, even some of you, not all of you, but even some of you right now, as I went through deserve versus received, all of a sudden you have felt a joy of the gospel rise up in your soul, because that's what the gospel does when it's properly applied. It rids us of self and fills us with Christ. So again, we're thankful for Elijah's strengths, but we're also thankful for his weaknesses to see this faith buster that Elijah ran into. Loved ones, let's learn from other people's mistakes. Let's not make the same mistakes over and over again. This takes us now with the negative one gone. Let's go now to more of the positive. Number two is this. Here's a faith bolster. I'm gonna have our faith bolstered in this way. And here it is, that God, Almighty God, the Lord of the universe, He wants to speak with me. Our faith is boosted when we understand that God wants to meet with me. God wants to speak to me. God wants to love on me. Verse 11. And he said, God speaking to Elijah, go out and stand. So this is how God responds to Elijah's self-pity. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice and said to him, notice again, what are you doing here, Elijah? Here's our biggest takeaway right here from this section. The greatest thing a downcast, discouraged, depressed person needs is not five steps to have a bigger smile. That's not what God gave Elijah. The greatest thing a downcast, discouraged person needs ready is the Lord himself. When you have the presence, in your presence is fullness of joy. You have made me glad in the joy of your presence, the psalmist says. It's the presence of the Lord which causes us to see and know and feel who we are to be in Christ because of what he's done for us. You know, we had a great prayer meeting this past week, and if you didn't come, you missed out, okay? Okay, no offense, but you missed out, all right? We had 600 people here, praise the Lord, and just to think of the damage done against the dominion of darkness as 600 people pray, and the light shining from this place, boom. I was calling it spiritual grenades against Satan, like this, right? It was amazing, man, throwing grenades all over the place, and God's gonna use that. Anyways, at the prayer meeting, one of the things I said was, on Tuesday of this past week was 10 years to the day of our first Bible study as Harvest Oakville. 10 years ago this past Tuesday, 18 people showed up for our first Bible study. And so neat to see what's happened since then. But the reason that I wanna say it to you right now is when we met as 18 people of June 18th, 2003, our foremost desire is that we will be a people who encounter the living God. That when we gather as a church, it's not about programs, it's not about trying to feel good, it's about we want to encounter God. Because when we encounter God, here's what's happening. You're coming back and you're bringing your friends. Because there's nothing in this world. I mean, you think a television show can hold up to the presence of Almighty God? You think a flush bank account can match the greatness and the glory of knowing that the Lord Almighty dwells within you? I mean, you think some kind of ride on some roller coaster is gonna give you a high that's gonna compete with Jesus Christ and all that he is and having his presence? I mean, give me a break. It's the presence of the Lord that's the greatest gift that God gives to his church, and that is what we seek together, and this is what Elijah needs as well. So the Lord here, he passes in front of Elijah in what is a very fascinating piece of scripture, and notice what happens here, a great and strong wind. Now this isn't just a wind where the trees go back and forth or even a wind that picks up a house. This was a wind so strong, live in the text, a wind so strong that it breaks rocks in pieces. I mean, just imagine seeing that. That's quite the tornado, breaking apart rocks. Power of God. Then there's an earthquake, and Elijah's hiding in this cave, right? And the mountain he's in shaking, man. How afraid are you? Rocks falling from the ceiling, maybe? I don't know. You're there, terrifying. Then a fire. What does that look like? I don't know. Looks awesome. And it would light up the entire horizon, the fire coming down from heaven. But notice what the word of God unmistakably wants us to know. The Lord was not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. So the question becomes, what is God doing here? Why is he doing this? Why is he said to not be in this power displayed? I believe, after careful study this week, I believe the answer is this, that Elijah was looking for God to work in one specific way. Elijah, up until this point, man, he's like, Mount Carmel, fire from heaven, please. Let's do that again. Oh, Jezebel, she doesn't want to respond to you, God. Fire from heaven, please. Let's smoke her as well, all right? I think Elijah was kind of going down the road was he was expecting God to do one thing. And when God didn't do the one thing, discouragement, disappointment, despondency. And I think God's showing him here. I don't blame Elijah for being excited about fire from heaven and seeing such glory. But again, I think it's so important to see, well, what is God trying to teach? It's kind of like reminiscent, remind me of James and John with Jesus, when they enter into Samaria and the Samaritans, this is classic sons of thunder. James and John were sons of thunder. That's what they were called. I wonder why. Well, this gives you a bit of a reason why they were called sons of thunder, okay? So they see these Samaritans reject Jesus and they say to Jesus, Lord, you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? I mean, really? Like that's you're following Jesus around and the first thing you say, let's get fired on, consume them right there. And Jesus turns them and just rebukes them. I mean, that's a classic statement of presumption. But that's what James and John thought was the best plan for that moment. I know. And apparently not, right? And this is reminiscent, maybe Elijah, I don't know for sure, but maybe Elijah's in a very similar place. Maybe he's like, come on, Lord, just smoke him. I'm done with this, man. Come on, let's see your glory. Let's see fire. Jezebel, smoker. Let's get rid of all this stuff. Let's just win. So here's the lesson, I think, in all of this, what's happening. The Lord is showing Elijah, hey, Elijah, I can do anything. I can tear rocks apart with wind. I control the very foundations of the earth. I can summon fire in a millisecond. I can demonstrate a natural power that would disintegrate you instantly, Elijah. But Elijah, that's not the only way I work. Sometimes I will work through fire, but often it will be different. Elijah, I can be loud and externally awesome in my glory. But Elijah, I can also be just as awesome in my glory in the quiet of a whisper. Look at verse 12. And after the sound, after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Notice the footnote in my Bible says thin silence. And when Elijah heard it, this is what draws him out now. Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice that said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, do you see what God has done here? Jesus spoke in parables. Elijah gets a living parable right before his eyes. This is a real life parable of wind, earthquake, and fire to teach him a lesson, which is amazing, which is really showing Elijah this. Elijah, the ways of God are not the ways of man. And I think this principle is so key here as well. It's Elijah, understand this, just because you don't see me working with what you determine is me working doesn't mean I'm not. You see that? Just because you don't see God working, that doesn't mean God isn't working as much as ever. Loved ones, get this truth in your memory bank. You're gonna need it tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. Okay, just because you and I don't see God working doesn't mean he isn't working awesome things all the time. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean we can place judgment upon our God. The Lord at times will send fire, but more often than not, God works in the quiet and in the gentleness. Don't count him out. The same way you walk outside, you can't feel the earth spinning. Seems pretty stable, but in reality, the motions and the universe and the power, the earth is, that's an awesome thing. But yet it's invisible often to the human eye and cannot be heard with the human ear. Yet the power of the forces of our universe being displayed, even though we don't perceive it, that's so much like our God as well. So when we see this and when we know this, it bolsters our faith that God is at work even when I don't see it. I mean, people in our world, they say God is dead. And yet at this very moment, in this day, thousands and thousands will be regenerated from death to life by God. He's not dead. He's alive and he's transforming thousands of people every single day. God is ridiculed and mocked. And yet he's never been more active in power. God is forgotten by our society. He is overlooked by our world. Yet today, millions and millions and millions, he is beckoning worship from their hearts to him. He is not forgotten. Maybe overlooked by our world. You wanna clap? Let's clap. Let's clap. Let's get it out of our system. Amen. Let's do that. Love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. The point is this, loved ones, we often look for the tornado, the earthquake, and the fire. But often God is doing his greatest work and the work that we cannot even perceive. And so then we stop trying to tell God and place judgment on God. Then we start walking by faith to say, God, I don't see it, but I believe it. I trust you that the quiet is as powerful as the loud. So we have a faith buster in self-pity. We have a faith bolster in believing that God is at work even when I don't see it. Now we have this, we have a faith boomer. Let's get to booming some faith, all right? Faith boomers this, God's not done with me yet. Can I get an amen? All right. That's a great word for all of us. That booms our faith. We know God is not done with me yet. So at the end of verse 13, God asks the same question again. And it's really a beautiful question. What are you doing here, Elijah? You see what God's doing there, loved ones? He's doing that to some of you right now. What are you doing here, Elijah? See what he's doing? He's drawing Elijah out. He's calling from Elijah his purpose. Do you see what God's doing? He won't let Elijah stray. He's not done with Elijah. I love this fact of love regarding our God. Our God will not let his true children stray. He won't let them. He won't let them. He will find them. He will seek them. He will love them. Our God is not oblivious to even one of his sheep. I was reading this week John 10 with my kids and the Good Shepherd, and I wanna share these verses on the screen for you behind me here. John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, when there is a sheep of God's, a sheep belonging to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, they will not be lost. They might stray, they will return because they belong to the Lord. They aren't their own, they belong to Jesus Christ. And this is why it reminds me of Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. It speaks of God will leave 99 if it means to go find the one lost sheep and bring that sheep. There will not be one sheep that will go missing when it comes to God's care for them. And you see right now, to God, he goes, what are you doing here, Elijah? Because he's calling him to where he should be. And right now in this room right now, God is doing that to some of you. He says your name. He says, Joe, what are you doing here? Why are you wandering away in some situation you shouldn't be in? Why have you gone into the patterns of sin in the world? Why have you neglected? Why? There's some women here, you've been straying. And God, in his love, he won't let his children go forever. He calls them. There's some young people here today. How long will it take, young person, for you to just fool around in the sin of alcohol and drugs and sex or whatever? How long will it take for you to finally wake up that the world doesn't work? How long will it take for you to hear the voice of God and continue to reject him? Because if it's truth be told, you just want to fill yourself with self. It doesn't work. And in the love of God, in the love of God today, maybe there's a quiet whisper in your ear and you know what's true. You know Jesus is your answer and he calls you home. Why? Why does he care? Because he loves. Why does he keep asking you? Because he loves you. And he loves you too much to let you fall off the cliff into oblivion, separated from him. Many people, the Lord could be speaking here today because that's what God does. He's not done with you yet. How many conversations have I had with many of you who have said in some form, in some way, I went astray, I wandered away, the Lord called me back, now I'm here with a new resolve and passion to serve God for the rest of my life in a different way. It's gonna be hard. There's gonna be lots of trials and lots of ups and downs, but I'm here and I'm here to stay. That's awesome because the Lord has called you and your faith, it boosts, it booms when you understand that God is not done with you yet. There's still more to go. So Elijah, he gives his same answer as before. Really hasn't changed. He gives the same answer as he did in verse 10. He does the same answer in verse 14. And I love what God says now in verse 15 to Elijah. Look at verse 15. He says, and the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, so notice this. See, Elijah's like, I want to give up. I got nothing going on. There's nothing happening in my life. There's no point. I'm the only one left. God says, I have preordained appointments for you, Elijah. I have sovereignly organized events and people and ministry for you to encounter because I'm still not done with you. I'm going to use you. He says, you're gonna go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Then you're gonna see Jehu and he'll be king over Israel. Then you're gonna mentor Elisha and you're gonna anoint him as prophet in your place. Then he talks about Hazael and Jehu. And then in verse 18, he says, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. Who's in charge? God's in charge. And what God has said right here, God has said two main things to Elijah to boom his faith. Number one, Elijah, I'm not done with you. Number two, you're not alone. That's massive for this room right now. Whoever's listening to this message right now, God's not done with you, you're not alone. Again, God has already in the future arranged appointments for Elijah in ministry for his glory. That's awesome, that's awesome. That's what God does to us. God in our lives, if we walk by faith, if we believe, God right now is preparing events for us to encounter in the future. How does he do that? Because he's God and he loves us and he wants to use us for his glory. You have people waiting for you. You have assignments waiting for you. But if you look in self-pity in the moment, in the mirror and in self, you don't believe that. If you walk by faith though and not by sight, you will find out it is true. You can look at your past and know it's true and take your past and build your faith for the future to believe it's true also. that God right now is sovereignly preparing things. What are they? I don't know, but they're gonna be great. They're gonna be hard, but they're gonna be great. There'll be challenges, there'll be joys, there'll be moments of fear, yet there'll be moments of great ecstasy and joy and love for what God has for us. The key is here, you gotta keep walking. And why do you gotta keep walking? Well, you gotta keep walking because you never know what's around the next corner. If you figure that out, see, if you live life just here, just the way what you see, and you see negativity, and you just see, it's not gonna be any good, then you become convinced your present is your future. You become convinced, I'm the only one left, God's plan isn't working, Elijah says, da-da-da-da-da, it's not going on. But what you have to do by faith, you are walking by faith, and you never know when God's gonna say, turn left. And you cannot see till you get there, but when you turn the corner, let's say for me in my life, walking through life, and God says, turn left, and all of you show up. And you're like, I had no idea that was coming. Like, no, as a preacher, I think some other preachers have, you can be preaching a sermon, and you're like, blah, 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 you're preaching a sermon, but inside you're having a conversation with yourself. It's very bizarre, okay? And so sometimes, every now and then, I'm preaching, not right now, but it just happened because I started talking about it. Anyway, I'm preaching a sermon, and inside my head, I'm honestly moved to tears because I'm like, why do I get to do this? Yeah, it just happened again. Why are all these people showing up? Why do I get to open up God's word? How did this happen, Lord? How did I even, and you're blah, 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 and inside you're just like, this is crazy, God. I never, ever saw any of this coming. It's your grace, Lord. It's all your grace, 100%. See, but if you, in the difficult times of life before, if you're not willing to walk, you don't get to turn left and go. Because that's what faith requires us to do. So today is my 13th wedding anniversary. I'm really thankful for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I don't say that for applause. I say it for this reason, okay? Because whenever we have anniversary, Jill and I sit down and we say, remember when? And we say, remember when? Because it's powerful for us, right? I remember when I was trying to date Jill and trying to convince her of this grand plan I had for this. I had no clue what was going on, like no clue at all, right? And she was there. You know, she took a whole week by herself. She was with her family away. She took a whole week apart from me to pray and seek the Lord to say, there's no point even dating this guy if I don't have a burn for ministry upon my life. I was just started seminary. I was like, please, God, please tell her she's called to ministry or some level, you know? And thank the Lord, his grace to me. But I remember that moment though. And I remember starting off us both being in school and I was in seminary and living below the poverty line. I remember that. I remember being in that first basement apartment with windows the size of postage stamps, and you're just eking for some light to come through so you can see anything out there in the real world. I remember when our kitchen was our office, was our family, was our bathroom. I remember that, those days, you know what I'm saying? I remember when we had nothing. I remember my first youth group when there was 10 kids, one was saved and nine were total brats. I remember that. I remember coming home the first night and saying in tears, I can't do this, Jill. I can't do this. She's like, psh, 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 get it together, Robbie, go back in. You know, that kind of thing. I remember those moments. I remember driving in the car saying, God, I don't know what you have for me, but I thought you called me to preach, Lord. Why am I not doing what I thought you called? I remember all those moments. And for Jill and I to sit down now and then we look at the great. See, if you don't keep walking, you don't get to turn the corner. And if you don't keep walking, turn the corner, you won't find the blessing. And that's what God does. You don't know what's coming. You're in a place right now and you think it's all over. Give me a break. Look at your God. You have no idea what's in store, but you gotta walk and you gotta turn. Because unless you walk and turn when he asks, you'll be blown away at what God will do as only he can. But that requires faith and you must believe that God's not done with you yet. No matter what has happened in the past, you must believe he's not done. Because why? You're still alive and you're a child of God and you then are packed with purpose for Jesus Christ. Your whole life is so much. Amen. Take these principles now and apply them. Believe them. Live them. Don't doubt. Believe. Believe in what God is saying to you. As he says to Elijah, I got a vent set up right now. Your daytimer's full. with the sovereignty and the glory of God. That is awesome. And then he says, Elijah, you're not alone. And you're here today. I don't care how you, no disrespect and no lacking love. I don't care how you feel, because I know what's true for your life. If you're a child of God, you are not alone. It's 100% you, the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ, you are not alone. In verse 18, right? Elijah's like, woe is me, no one's left, it's just me. God says, I'll leave 7,000 in Israel. 7,000, Elijah. Interesting, this very event occurs or is restated in Romans 11. It says, God is not, this is Paul talking, Apostle Paul, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they've killed your prophets, they've demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Paul says, but what is God's reply to him? God says, I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by, what's the last word? Grace. You see, so Paul takes Elijah's example. Elijah's like, there's no one. God's like, I got 7,000. Okay, apply that to today. You know what drives me crazy? What drives me crazy is Christians who look at our world and be like, oh no, it's all falling apart. Everything's going down the tubes, man. The church is dying. Everything, whoa. And they're all scared. Like, what? Whoa, time out. God's not up in heaven pacing going, oh man, I'm losing control. Everything's going down. What am I gonna do? And you know, God is reigning the universe with his feet up, loved ones, okay? He's not stressed out, right? He knows what's going on. So all these believers are fretting on God's behalf. Come on now, man. Yes, there's lots of sin in our world. Yes, there's lots of darkness. God is in control, okay? God is on the throne. Amen. I just speak truth. I'm just telling you what is true, right? I'm not trying to give you a pep talk. I'm just telling you what is true. Take the truth. In fact, apply your faith and watch your feelings change. That's what happens, man. It's just fact and faith leading to feeling, right? All right? Yeah, things are getting tough around here, but Jesus Christ is building his church and he will not be stopped. And every day, thousands of lives are added to the Lamb's Book of Life, whether they like it or not. That's the mercy and the grace and the love of our God. You see, faith buster is I look at self, but the faith bolster and boomer is to believe, wow, God's not done with me, God's not done with you, God's not done with us. All that we've seen in 9 years, how much more will we see if we continue to walk by faith in the midst of the difficulties, to believe that God cannot be anything but faithful in our lives. He cannot. God, help us. God, let us see you.
I'm sure many of you have heard that coming up on November 30th is Giving Tuesday. Not familiar? Giving Tuesday is a global generosity movement unleashing the power of people and organizations to transform their communities in the world. Giving Tuesday was created in 2012 with a simple idea. A day that encourages people to do good. Over the past 7 years, this idea has grown into a global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give and collaborate and celebrate generosity. One of the best ways to get involved is in your own community to a cause that's close to your heart. Live in the Light exists to see lives radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. This is what's close to our hearts. And if you get fired up for the gospel and people learning about Jesus, and that's your heartbeat too, please consider spending your Giving Tuesday gift on Live in the Light. A gift of any amount helps keeps us on the air, and because of that, more people can hear God's word each day through stations like this one. If the mission of Live in the Light resonates with you, please contact us online at liveinthelight.ca or by phone at 1-844-22-LIGHT. We can't wait to see what God is going to do through the generosity of his people this Giving Tuesday.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next time at Live in the Light.